Good morning, everybody. Well, I tell you, Sunday school, we've had to learn that we got to be hospitable to people and we got to love each other. You know, it's just awful. I can't hardly believe it. But it's true. It's in there. We got to do that. We got to be loving Christians. That's why we're here today, so we can love each other, right? Yeah. Okay, let's go to page 62, please, and let's stand. Page 62. Nor sin, nor temptation, no riches of earth could save my poor soul. The blood of the cross is only salvation. The sin of my Savior now maketh me whole. Silver, I am bought, but not with gold. For the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Verse 3, nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. The holy command made me draw near. The blood of the cross is my only salvation. The death of my Savior removeth my fear. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. But with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Sing the last. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. No way into heaven could not this be bought. The blood of the cross is holy. The death of my Savior, redemption hath wrought. I am redeemed, I was silver, I am bought with gold, bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love. Pray. Father, thank you for another beautiful day, Lord. It may be gray out, but it's just not a bad day, Lord. It's a good one here, Lord, that we can come here today. Sit amongst each other, Lord. Shake a hand, say a hi, maybe a hug, Lord. Spreading some Christian love, Lord. Thank you for it. Kind of made light of it earlier, Lord, and didn't mean to disrespect anyone or anything or you, Lord, but just to have some fun, Lord, while we're here. Appreciate it, Lord. Love our country, Lord. I just pray that you guide and direct our leaders, Lord. What a mess we're in. But, Lord, it's not a mess to you. Lord, you're in control. Your plans are being worked. Just help us to understand, realize it, and just let you run the show, Lord. That's what we need to do. You're our leader, Lord. We don't need to elect anybody, Lord. You're the one that needs to be leading our lives. Help us to see it, know it, and understand it. But today, Lord, our pastor's going to speak. I just pray, Lord, you guide him, you direct him. Give him the strength, Lord, he needs to give your message out today, Lord. I pray it touches someone today, Lord, that they might get right before they leave the building. Thank you again, Lord, for just getting us together today. A lot of folks that were sick got back today, Lord. Thank you for that, just being with them. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, how about 621, please? Just the first two verses, 621. On the Lord's side, who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will be the By thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Not the weight of glory, not for crown or palm. Into the army, raise a warrior song. But for love that claimeth lives for whom he died, he whom Jesus nameth must be on his side. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine, let's see. Tonight, 6 o'clock, it's our evening service, and we're going to have a film tonight. It's the 1916 Project. Got some other churches going to send a few of their guys out to sit here with us, watch it. Even our pastor recommends it. It's a good one to see. So make sure you come out for that. We have a deacon meeting on the 21st. The 26th is Thanksgiving service at Walnut Park. So there's no Wednesday service. So if you show up, sorry, you're going to be by yourself. November 30th, if any lady would like to join us to clean out the costume room from 10 to 11, all help is welcome. Christmas open house at Pastor and Kim's home on the 14th from 6 to 8. Quarterly business meeting, December 8th. If you have any items, please get them to Pastor by the 4th. The thought for the week, Satan's deception. It enslaved God's truth, sets you free. Guys, come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for this season that we have and recognize in our nation. Few people really do, Lord. But I pray we do, Lord, that we would remember to thank you always, Lord, for all that you do for us. Give praise to your name. Just realize, Lord, where things really come from. Help us, Lord, to see and understand we're just stewards, Lord. We don't really own anything. You've got it all. But help us today, Lord, to know it and understand it. Be with our pastor now, he's about to speak, and especially the gift and the giver now, Lord, to take of this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Please. 420.
Christians often don't know.
Anchor holds. verse 3 is the last. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet a sudden loss. Came on the seas, bears the heavy sea between. Through the storm I safely ride till the turn. Just a 2-minute presentation now, so just sit and listen a little bit.
Thanks, Lonnie.
Yes, thank you.
Betsy, I'm going to close with that one today, not what's in the bulletin.
What Christians often don't understand in the culture wars and in the fight for life is that abortion is not just one issue among many. Abortion is almost the linchpin upon which the liberal establishment swings. But what happens when you pull out a linchpin? The door falls off.
It takes a long time to go from a few intellectuals believing some bad ideas to bringing those ideas into the culture more and more and more until they bear fruit. The answer how we got here is because of the silence and inaction of the church.
Amen.
Somebody might say, well, you know, Margaret Sanger, she didn't quite know exactly what she was doing. Well, first of all, you're speaking from ignorance because she wrote about herself and she wrote what her plans were, so much so that she, impressed Adolf Hitler. How do you impress Hitler?
Father walks up to me wearing a BLM shirt and he says to me, why are you out here fighting a white man's issue? He was a walking poster child for all things CRT because in critical race theory, you see racism in all things and at all times. Even when a 6'4", 260-pound black man is trying to save a baby.
We're going to expose and discover who the real Margaret Sanger was and how her attack and assault against the family in America explains our current culture of death and upside-down world that we're living in today. This is where it all started. It was here that Sanger opened up her first unlicensed, illegal birth control clinic in 1916.
Study the past, not just to understand what happened then, but to understand what's happening now.
This is a Leviathan. Thought how it's a fitting place to remember what happens when bad ideas are taken to their logical conclusion.
Bless the holy name of Jesus, and we shall let the baby live. Let the baby live. Let the baby live.
Stop waiting for someone else to grow a righteous culture of life for you and on your family's behalf. It will not happen. If not you, who? If not now, when?
Well, good morning, one and all. This presentation that we're having tonight is going to be of great value because it contains the truth. And I do want to invite everyone. I want to tell you, first of all, though, welcome to our time this morning of worship service and gathering together and fellowship, teaching of the Word. We're glad for everyone that's here. I do invite you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. I'd be here a little early, and I pray that all of you Fruitland folks will be here. We've invited other churches and the general public. This is not a dry documentary, and it's not all about abortion, but it's all about the evil that is a part of that. In fact, some of us, it's really about eugenics is the basis of this, and it has to do with evolution. But people like me would not be standing here today. Because what it is about, in part at least, is that there is an intelligentsia or an upper echelon of people that want to take control of our world, and they don't want people that don't meet their criteria here. And this is much more than just abortion. But I do want you to come tonight. You need to be informed. These are things I've stood for and preached on over the years. But the neat thing about this film, it is in one package. And it's really going to be informative. And so it runs about an hour and 17 minutes. Again, help people that visit tonight. I'm going to help downstairs if we have enough children. It's really not a film that's suitable for young preteens. So we'll have some child care for that. But be winsome with people tonight. Some things that are, there's nothing graphic shown in this film, really, but some of these ideas are going to challenge what people think today. And it's grounded, again, in biblical things. By the way, I'll just say this to start. This thing about races is way wrong, because there's only one race. It's the human race. And this is what Satan has used to divide people. There are ethnicities, but they all come from Adam. But you come tonight and view that film. I believe it will be a mind opener, and it will shock you to know how far gone we are in our nation and in our world today. I know we're under a new administration, but folks, that's not going to fix everything that's wrong. And we as Christians must be the ones that take a stand for these issues. We're the only ones that know the truth, and the truth will set us free according to Jesus. And we need to be out there with this message today, folks. It's very, very important because souls are at stake. Anyway, with that said, good morning, everyone. I'm excited about that and the possibilities of that. If you have further questions about that, you can talk to me. I have looked at the film. Autumn's viewed it. Maybe a few others have. It is not out there yet for public consumption in a sense. It has to be registered, and we are. And so you're in on an exclusive early thing about this. I assume someday it'll be allowed to be, or not allowed, but it will be run where people can view it without any registration. But at this point, it's still that new. The book has just been released in September, so this is cutting-edge stuff, and I think it's so important that we show this tonight. So we invite you back. There will be no service per se. I'm going to open in prayer, welcome the people, tell them where to find restrooms. And we're going to screen the film, and then, of course, we can have some discussion later with people. But make them feel welcome tonight. We're going to be glad for them to come. And we're glad that you're here today. And if you're visiting here, or if you're a longtime person that hasn't been here, we're just glad you're here today. And hopefully Fruitland is always a place that you can come and be welcomed again in the family of God. And that there's hope and healing that is available to us here through the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today, the title of our message is Coming Out as a Christian. Five bold steps. Coming out as a Christian, five bold steps. But before we begin, we are here today to worship the Lord. And so we'll take just a few moments, as we normally do each week. Allow each of us personally to adjust our lives. Put down your baggage today. Put down other things that are on your mind today. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him the glory and honor that He's due, the God of the Bible. And be prepared again today to respond to the message. You may disagree with the message. You may be angry with me. You may differ with me. You may differ with God. Maybe you'll be convicted at this message. But we'll see this. Hopefully, we will not leave here as we came. And that's the goal today, to be challenged from God's Word. So let's go for a moment or two of prayer here. I'll finish with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, as the prayers go up now from the hearts of the people here gathered today at Fruitland Baptist Church, your people, Lord, gathering as the called out ones, not only today to praise your name, but Lord, to be fed on the word, to be challenged and to love one another and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill your desire, your command, and your law, O Lord. And so we thank you today for the gathering and for this day that you've ordained for its purpose. We today again, Lord, always go out with our hearts to those around us. But first of all, Lord, we look within us. And today, Lord, when I look at myself, I see a sinner saved by grace. But I see a man who struggles, Lord, who needs to have a much broader and more in-depth walk with you, who needs to be helped, Lord, to be into a higher place than where I started. And so, Lord, today I'm sure that that would be how we, many of us, would identify today before you. If we come clean about ourselves, we recognize, Lord, that this is all by your grace. None of us are worthy. None of us have arrived. We all belong here this morning, Lord. And for those that are not here for whatever reason, we pray for them, whether they've made a decision to disobey you and not gather because of reasons of rebellion. And I know there are some that probably are in that category, but others, Lord, by necessity of being ill or infirm, whether that be either spiritually or physically, they cannot be here today. And Lord, others that are dealing with things that come again in the broken world we live and with grief and other issues that affect the human heart, we pray for those today, Lord, that battled the forces of Satan to get here. And we thank you, Lord, that those that made it prevailed and that, again, Lord, you are the overcomer, and help us to overcome the attacks of the wicked one. Lord, we do pray today for this presentation tonight that there would be a good group that turns out that, Lord, it would prick the hearts of the people. And I pray for this message this morning too, Lord, that it needs to be preached. It's been long coming. It's been on my list. And, Lord, there's a necessity that people become engaged in a spiritual renewal in their lives, that they be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, that they would again follow the commands of your word and stop resisting, but let go and get engaged with you, Lord, and experience the full joy that you have for us of walking with you in full obedience. I pray today, Lord, that this message would hit home. It's what you directed me to preach today. And I pray, Lord, again, that you would help me to get it preached effectively for your honor and glory, because as you know, I am not worthy or either capable, Lord, of doing things the way it ought to be, but only through the power that you ordain. And so I ask that help today. I ask for a dynamic response, Lord, that this may prick the hearts of the people and that we would see a new day. Now, Lord, we pray. We know that we have a new election of people here in the United States, but Lord, I don't think that's going to fix everything, and it probably will fix little of it, but what's got to be fixed is the hearts of the people. And Lord, Satan has dissuaded people. We're walking under false pretenses. Lord, may we throw off the shackles of darkness and walk in the light of the light of the world, who is you, Lord Jesus, the Savior, and hopefully our Lord this morning. Now bless our time in the Word, I pray, and I ask these things now. And Lord, I've forgotten some things very likely that are important. We do know there are people that are struggling, but my biggest concern today is people struggling with their souls. And if we lose our soul but yet gain the whole world, it will not be worth it, Lord. That's what your scriptures tell us. Help us, Lord, in this struggle that we would be victors that you have already won for us and claim it today. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, for the past few Sundays, the messages have tended to be a bit lengthy. I got an amen up here in the corner. I don't apologize for that because I had to get what was done. And things, not an excuse, but when things run a little longer in different parts of the service, it happens. Today, I promise you. Today is the offset, and I said I promised. Short, to the point, and challenging, so that's how we're going to keep it. It has been popular, though, my friends, in the last 25 years or so, as I look back on time and how it's progressed, that people that have practiced sinful and immoral living, which was scorned previously in our society, which was nominally under the influence, no more people were saved in those days than ever, but we walk much more under the influence of God's Word. Things that were previously scorned in society, people today have come out And they said, I'm proud of my sin. I think whatever I want to do is just fine. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And for those of you that aren't happy about that, tough. But I'm going to do it my way. They go in public and do these things. They've come out. And of course, the closet is what's being referred to here when people say coming out. But they go public and they no longer are ashamed, but they are now bold and proud of their sin. Folks, it's not just the things that you're stereotypically thinking about right now that have to do with hot issues of the day, but it's all kinds of things. People are bold about this stuff today, and nothing seems to restrain them. You agree with that this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ? I think if we all examined our lives, there are things that we may do these days that we would never dreamed about doing. I know I preached a message similar to this a few weeks ago, but this has a specific point this morning. But this is what concerns me. In those same years, I have noticed that more people who claim the blood of Christ for salvation have gone into the closet. Christians. Stuff like what we see here tonight that is packaged well in this film that we're going to experience. People have lost touch with reality and with truth. And Christians no longer want to stand up for much of anything. I think this whole building would be full and we'd be in a building program if just the Christians would become faithful and would become dedicated. But you know what? The Christians have gone into the closet. There's been a trade of what's taken place. And you know what? I see it more and more that Christians shun public testimony to their faith in Jesus Christ. And it makes me wonder if they truly do have it. I'm going to refer to some things here today, but things I've seen in my time here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Kim and I have been down here about 32 years. And what I used to see happen with regularity here, but what I see rarely here today. And you know, I kick myself a lot. If you want me to see the wounds that I could show you where I kick myself. And I say, Pastor John, you're not doing some things right here. You're not preaching the way you should. And I'm constantly evaluating that. I ask our deacons to evaluate that with me all the time. And I can kick myself for many reasons. But I think there's been something that's taken place as we've seen this transfer between some coming out of the closet and the Christians going into the closet that has deadened us in the day that we live. Now, I don't know what it is. You can only identify this for yourself. If it's fear or what has gripped people or the fact that we've just lost our mandate that hasn't been taken away to go out and contact and reach people. We don't want to mess with the dirty stuff. We don't want controversy. We don't want trouble. We don't want hardships. But friends, everyone that has gone before us in Jesus Christ has experienced those things. Who do we think we are today? Well, friends, there's five things that we're going to look at quickly today. But before we go to those five, I just want to review something. And this is why we are here today, my friends. We're here on the basis of Matthew 28, where Jesus gave the Great Commission. You know, I've joked with my insurance agents over the year and told them I also work on a commission basis. And so do you. Nowhere in the Scriptures has the Great Commission been removed. We have a reason to be proactive in the world that we live in. And folks, if we are in the closet, we are not proactive. And I'll tell you, it starts right within our hearts, but it's secondarily manifested right in the church. And I think the things that I'm going to talk about this morning may hit home with some of you. By the way, over the years, I've spent way too much time up here in the front of the... I don't call this an altar, okay? Because this is not a Reformed church. We don't have a communion rail. We don't... But you know what? You can have an altar for God in your own home. You can have an altar for the Lord in your own heart. But there's something about the front here, or where we need to come publicly, that I think we'll address this morning. But the reason we exist today is the Great Commission. And I just want to briefly review the message of salvation because that is what we're grounded on. Please turn in your scriptures this morning to John 3, verses 16 through 18. And then we're going to go to Romans 10, 9 through 10 and 13. I'm just going to read this morning. I'm not going to preach on it. But this is why we're here, folks. It's about you here that may be unsaved. And it's about those that are saved and born again here this morning and what the message is that we are given by the Great Commission command of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver to the world around us. It has not been negated. Here it is in a nutshell. This is the good news, the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique one-of-a-kind son who was the God-man. The hypostatic union, fully God and fully man. He had to be able to pay for our sins. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be rescued or saved or delivered. Apart from Jesus today, folks, you're on the default path to a future in the lake of fire. But with Jesus Christ as your Savior, who you believe bore your sin, if you truly believe on that and receive that gift from him, you are headed to eternal life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity in a new body. And you will not stand in the judgment, but you are passed from death unto life. Folks, that's a pass everyone needs to consider. And in my opinion, and in God's, we need to accept. Now here's the important thing in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, is not going to be judged again to see if we're worthy of heaven or hell. Because we know when our sins have been placed under the judgment of the cross and Christ bore them, if we've trusted in him, we are no longer going to be held accountable for our sins that will exclude us from going to heaven. We're brought back into fellowship with the Lord. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Today, folks, apart from Jesus Christ, you are a walking, eternally dead soul, if there's one here today. That's the world that we see possibly, potentially, outside of us. We know it's the likely outcome of many people that we deal with every day or have contact with. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten or unique Son of God. And then Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. This is the gospel. Now, it's presented many places in Scripture, but this is the basis of why we exist. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is how we are saved. I already told you in part how that happens from John 3, 16. But here, Paul writes to the believers at Rome when he delivers this message, and he says, that if, and there that little word is a big word, if, conditional, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, thou shalt be delivered, thou shalt be rescued from this plight of default destruction that is upon all humanity. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us to be saved, he shows us our need, and he shows us that God has provided the sufficient way for that to happen. And when we figure out that we're a sinner and that we're in trouble, he says, you know what? If you'll put your faith in him, if you'll pronounce that and you'll believe, the other way around, you believe first and pronounce it, you will be saved, because God answers the questions that we asked. Now I direct us to Romans 10:13, and it brings it down to very basic things. We do not participate in religion here at Fruitland Baptist Church unless you do it falsely. What we have is a simple, direct command and an answer and an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how you can be saved. If you acknowledge you're a sinner, you need a Savior, you acknowledge that Jesus is a Savior, he says, call me. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, all can be saved, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. My friends, that's the gospel message. Have you done that? See, have you had that connection made with Christ? Have you acknowledged your sin and acknowledged him as your Savior? Folks, you can have that today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. If you don't know Christ, now is the time. Now we're going to get to the meat of this, and it revolves around that. But here's the thing, and I believe I've presented the gospel fairly here this morning in those verses. But here it is, folks, the coming out for a Christian. Now, some of you may say, well, John, I don't believe that you have to do this first one to be saved. And I'm going to say, I agree with you. But the pattern in Scripture says we need to come out, stop sitting in the closet, stop messing around with technicalities about our salvation, and do it the way Jesus said. And what am I talking about here, class? The first one, people need to be baptized that are believers. People need to be baptized by water in immersion as believers to identify with Jesus Christ. Your baptism does not save you in water, but it identifies you as one who is on page with Jesus Christ as his Savior and says to the world, and says it publicly, I am his. I'm not going to hide under a rock. I'm going to come out for him. And folks, that's how it's done in the pattern through Scripture. There's a lot of false teaching about baptism. But folks, it's very simple as you look through the Bible, and I don't have time to go through it because I said this would be short this morning. But that's the pattern. First, you believe. You receive Christ as your Savior. And then you identify Christ with Christ in water baptism, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's quickly go this morning to Acts chapter 16, 30 through 34. I'm just going to show you one example, but you will find in the Scriptures this is the case all the time. Acts 16, 30 through 34. Acts 16 is a wonderful passage about salvation and people that the Holy Spirit got a hold of. They acknowledge their sinfulness and they receive Christ as their Savior, and then they identified with Jesus Christ in water baptism. And following that will be point two that I'm going to bring to you here in just a moment. But Acts 16, 30 through 34. And you know what we're talking about here, don't you? You're talking about the Philippian jailer. And this is how this happened. You remember Paul and Silas were jailed for preaching. They were jailed because some people lost their business and the source of their funding got cut off because of the gospel. By the way, folks, when you are living for Jesus Christ, you will face challenges. You better accept that right now, folks. But don't you think Jesus faced some challenges for you and I as God? You know, remember that thing called the cross. You know, he went through unbearable things as one who did not have to do it for our sakes, for your sake and mine. But when the Philippian jailer saw the witness of Paul and Silas as they were incarcerated, as they were beaten, had all kinds of things happen to them, and guess what they did? They didn't complain in prison. They sang praises to God. Are you singing praises to God today? Not literally, maybe, but have you given God glory and praise today for how good he is to us? I challenge any of us this morning, tell me one bad thing God's done to you. I can't think of a thing, because God doesn't do bad things. We have no reason not to be on board with the Lord today. But here's what took place there. The jailer brought them out in verse 30, Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, sirs, you remember what happened here? An earthquake hit the jail. The prisoners were going to run loose. They could have easily, and the Roman guard, the Roman appointed guard here, the jailer, he would have been what? He would have been executed for letting these people get away, even though there was an earthquake. By the way, earthquakes don't happen by chance. They happen because God intervened in this situation. He's trying to get people woken up. What's it going to take, people, in our world today? The hand of God, the signs of God are all around us. Even here at Fruitland, the preaching hasn't been the best, but it's been there. We know or can know. But the earthquake hits. And guess what Paul and Silas did? They sat right there and waited. They didn't run away. By the way, they weren't criminals to begin with. But they knew that they were ordained to be in that spot. And here's what the Philippian jailer saw in them. He saw something that was different. I ask you today, what do people see in you and I that classifies us as different? Or are you hidden in the closet, or am I hidden in the closet trying to kind of keep ourselves hunkered down to keep ourselves out of the line of target and the flight of the bullets, so to speak? Where are we today? Folks, I believe the modern day, current day church, to a great extent, is in the hunker down mode and duck down and don't get caught in the fire. But that wasn't the case with Paul and Silas. But here's what the jailer said to them after he brought them out. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have." Folks, the world around us doesn't want to admit it, but they want what we have. They've been hoodwinked by Satan, and they don't know how to receive it. They've been misled. And you know what we heard right up there on the screen? It's the church. It's the church that slipped up in all this, folks. Christians that went into the closet when we should have been out of the closet. By the way, I'm going to tell you, I do disagree with one thing on the film tonight, and it's minor, and we got to keep going here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was in power, well, he was a churchman during the Nazi coming to power and so forth in Germany. He was a German. And he's held up many times today as a great Christian. But folks, I also have evidence, and there's many books that have been written about him, but I also have great evidence that he denied several of the key doctrines of the Christian faith, such as the virgin birth and other things. And folks, you want to be very careful what's held up. He did a lot of good things, but I do not know today if he had a clear profession of being born again. Folks, we need to know what we believe, and it must line up with the Scriptures. Now, we got to keep going here. What must I do to be saved? And they said, same thing as what we looked at in Acts 10:31. Go, get involved in religion, be baptized, do your penance, do all this other rigmarole. No, he said simply what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your house. He said, your impact, Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas said, will have an impact on your house. And we know immediately it did, on a family. That's what's being talked about. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, just similar to what I've probably preached today about the gospel message, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set before meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see, that's what Paul and Silas taught there. They said it's enough to be saved by faith, but we also need to be identified with Jesus. Come out of your closet, show who you really are. Christians, I've run into many Christians, maybe even some here today. I'm not putting a hammer on anyone, but you know. Yeah, I'm born again, but I resist being baptized. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you the way it is in Scripture. That's the pattern, and it's what God wants. He wants you out of the closet. You'll never get anywhere in the closet. You'll be sunk in the dark. You'll be sunk in the constraints of the closet. But folks, come out of the closet. The first thing is water baptism. The second thing today is uniting with a local Bible-believing teaching church. Now, many people differ about this, about official membership. And some people say, well, there's a lot of things I don't like about the church. Hey, there's some things I don't either. And you know, recently Kim, I don't remember why, but she joined Costco. She bought a membership to Costco. And you know, she came home and said what? I don't like Costco. But what's she going to do and has done? She's going to go back to Costco. Because it's the best value that she could find on certain things. Sure, none of us agree with everything in the church. And we need to always know the church needs to live up to Scripture. But I'll tell you what, folks, whether it's official or unofficial, we need to be connected to a church. And what we've got out in our day-to-day, as Christians have gone back into the closet, we've got grasshoppers and we've got church hoppers. People looking around for the perfect one. Let me tell you, you're not going to find it. And you better just stay where you're at. You know, Paul warned people about that. He said, stay, remain in the place of your calling. If Fruitland Baptist Church is where God has placed you, enjoy what it has to offer and make it better. Join up with it. Get connected. Get active. Folks, we're all scared about this. Don't be afraid. And when something goes wrong, and if you ever come to the classes that I have when people come on board here, I tell you, Don't run away when something happens, and that's what we have. Oh, I'm upset about, well, yeah, I am too, but I'm still here. Go find another place. You know, it's our rebellion. But folks, we need to be united, because that's what really took place here. And every time people were saved, in this case with the Philippian jailer, his family was the core, the nucleus of a church. By the way, read back in this chapter text, you have another lady and her family that got saved over by the river. Her name's Lydia, and her family did the same thing. They received Christ, they identified with Christ. We know at least in this day, in that area of Philippi, there was what? Two local churches that were begun for the witness of the gospel. That's what we're here for, folks, and for the fellowship and for the edification and, again, the bearing of one another's burdens. We're family, part of the family of God. Now, go back in Acts to chapter 2, and are we doing okay on time? Okay, I think we can make this happen, and you'll get the point. That's the problem with the preaching. I get carried away with it, and I need to keep it short and simple. Acts 2:41, how far back can you go? These are the first days of the church. And by the way, the early days of a church are refreshing. I can tell you Moscow has been very refreshing so far. Excuse me. But I'll tell you what, when a church accumulates age, it accumulates a history, it accumulates baggage. But it doesn't matter. We need to continue to work to come back to the basics of the Word of God and to love people and to preserve the work and to see it grown by Christ. That's what that's all about. You have that opportunity tonight. Hopefully this place will be packed. But you know what? I'm just praying that all you folks will show up for this. Come out of the closet. Anyway, Acts 2:41. Here we find, remember Peter stands up. He says, repent and be baptized. We could teach on that too today and get that proper. But here's what happened after the people got saved in the early part of the new church, the new thing called the church in 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word or were saved, then were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Folks, they identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's through Scripture all the way. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, you go wherever, that's the pattern. It's what God desires. He wants us out of the closet. Jesus came out of the closet on the cross for us. Same thing. There was a role there that was, there was evidence that something had taken place here and that the church was the center of this now from that point on after people are saved. Is the church the center, again, or a center of the auxiliary part of your spiritual life? You know, from the intimate circles of you, your spouse, your family, whatever the case may be, is this the next step in that? Is it important? And evidence shows through the years, and especially in later years, it is not that important to people. Third point. Kim got it. Amen. Here's the third thing. Come out of the closet. Are you willing, as a new convert or as a older Christian, to be discipled and to be a discipler of others? Well, that's okay. That's the pastor's job. That's the deacon's job. Yeah, it is. It's your job too. Get involved with people. And Christians, involve yourself to grow more in people. And what do we find again in these later years? I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to be put on the spot. I don't want to, you know, take the time. Hey, the Packers are playing tonight. You know, no, I don't know if they are, but the point is, priorities, folks. Priorities. Discipling those that are coming along in the faith and being discipled yourself, because we're coming along in the faith. And some of that is also self-discipleship in the Word of God under the training of the Holy Ghost. He's the master teacher. The willingness to be discipled and to be a discipler of others. Going back to Acts 16, I'm not going to turn you there because we're short on time. But who got involved in all this there? Paul and John Mark, first of all, went to that town, to Lystra. Derbe and Lystra is recorded in the early part of Acts 16. And there they met a young man named Timothy. Thank you. And his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother Lois, and we don't know the spiritual standing of his dad, but they got saved under that ministry, okay? And it bore fruit. And Paul went back on his second missionary journey with Silas, Luke, and Timothy went with them, and he was under the discipleship and leadership of the Apostle Paul, being trained again to be another evangelist and to carry the message of the gospel and pastoral ministry. So Timothy submitted in both ways. He submitted to God and was saved. He submitted to the leadership of Paul and Silas and that group on the second journey, but he also became a discipler himself. And Paul gave him the instruction to do that as he reached and pastored churches. There's many of examples of that in Scripture, and they both go hand in hand. And my question to you folks today is this: who will go out? Who will be the next one called into vocational ministry or pastorate? But before you get worried, or a missionary, or to teach a Sunday school class, or even to come out with Pastor John and go visiting people, who will be the next one? I'll tell you what, I wonder about that. Bill, I'm looking at you there, not to pick on you. That's a dangerous seat to be in. I'll tell you why. Because that's where God called me to go into vocational ministry, at the preaching of Pastor Richard Westbrook. And that's where it all took place. He said, John, you need to be doing what I want you to do, not fooling around with all this other stuff. Denny, give us an amen on that. And I still haven't learned the whole lesson, but he's still teaching me right here this summer. But what about it? What about Bible studies, evening services, Sunday school, and a whole lot more that you can have a great part in to help others as well as yourself? And we don't see it happening, folks, to a great extent. People need to get out of the closet. Who's going to respond for further learning? Point four, the public giving of testimonies and even the willingness to stand up for Jesus, even in prayer, publicly. Okay? Go to 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. These are not just suggestions, folks, that came from the Holy Spirit here as he directed the Holy Writ through the Apostle Peter. But let me just begin reading here with verse 13 down through 17. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Answer: no one. Romans 8 says nothing can happen to the believer that's outside of the care of God. It's all good, folks. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, I'm discouraged. What's he say? You know, I've never gone out calling on people where I came home and said, I wished I'd have never done this. What do I come home saying? I wished I have done it more. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. God's telling you right here, get over it. Get out of the closet. But sanctify or separate the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an excuse. What's it say, brothers and sisters? To give an answer. Of what? Your fear? Your intrepidations? No, he says, be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. People of hope do not reside in the closet. And he says here to do it how? With meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or lifestyle in Christ. I'll tell you what, folks. When you think that we're being embarrassed for Jesus Christ, what people are really saying is, I admire that they stood. And I can't do it. There's something about them. That's what they're really thinking. No, they may not receive Christ, but they're thinking. Okay? But where was I at here? For it is better if the verse 17, if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, which I, in this category, say for sitting in the closet. You will suffer, again, for your lack of exuberance for Jesus Christ. Well, the last point. This is what I alluded to early in the message. Point five is the response to the Spirit's call at the altar for many reasons. Or we'll just call it a public place here in the church. You don't have to do it. But why is it I've seen that decline over the years? Is it me? If it is, tell me. Straighten me out. But I believe with all my heart, while I may have some blame in this, it's people being in the closet. I'm not stepping out for you, Jesus. I just want to keep going. I want to keep it. I think there's a lot of people in this perspective today, especially that are getting older. They're saying, I just want to get through this and be done. Well, you're not done till you're done. But what I used to see here at Fruitland Baptist Church was people that came forward once in a while about things they were struggling with. They brought these things to the Lord publicly, folks. People, you don't have to come forward to be saved, but folks, why wouldn't you want to? If you don't even have the persuasion within you to publicly come to Jesus, folks, you're in the closet. You really don't want the full value of that salvation. You just don't want to go to hell. But you'll miss most of your salvation. Sure, you'll go to heaven. But the point is, salvation is about a lot more than just not going to hell. See, I can get riled up about stuff like that. Do you agree with me, folks? Am I off base on all this, or is this really what we see today? Well, I see it, so I'm going to speak about it. But bottom line, people are not responding to the Spirit's call. They're either quenching the Spirit, or everyone's in perfect shape with the Lord. Well, come talk to me. I might need help. Yeah, Kim, you're... I know. Get out of the closet. Last turn today, Matthew 10, 32 through 33. Matthew 10, 32 through 33. Here's what Jesus said about all this. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men," yeah, publicly. Not just at an altar call in the church, but publicly. "Whosoever will come out of the closet and confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." You know, Jesus died publicly for us, in scorn and in shame. See? And he's saying basically the same thing. He tells us, "Are you ready to walk in my shoes?" That's a good question today, folks, for all of us. But notice what he says in 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Folks, if you're in the closet and you're a born-again believer, it better be a temporary thing. Because if it's a permanent thing, you got a problem with your salvation. That's the bottom line. It is not a permanent way that Christians live. It is a temporary thing when we may struggle at times, but we are not to live our lives in the closet. We are to live our lives boldly proclaiming and trusting Jesus Christ. Amen? Simply said, evidence in later times shows a coldness toward coming out as Christians. Am I the only one that sees it? And there are by no means the only evidences of what I've just listed for us today that show that we are living in a dead and a cold time. But it does not have to be, Christians. It didn't always be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way today. Folks, as I said, there's always plenty of room up here, publicly. I always see the massive exodus through the doors where people wait in line to get out of the door. But rarely do I see a line of people coming to do business with God. And if you're motivated or moved by the preaching of the Word, what better place to do it than right now, coming out of the closet publicly to Jesus? You will not be sorry. There's plenty of room up here all the time, in this case, in our auditorium. as the crowd heads up, jammed at the door. So my question as we close today, what will be the excuse today? If you know in your heart today, you need to come out of the closet. How will Satan stop you today from seeing your relationship with the Lord grow or be established? What will be that excuse? And I ask you this, will the excuse hold water? In Revelation 20, we just studied this in the Inquisitor's class this morning. There's going to be a ton of people that are not, their names are not going to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they're going to come up to Jesus and say what? But look what I did! And Jesus is going to say, you never came out of the closet. You're trying to get in here by works. I made it so you could come in by grace, and then come these things we're talking about here. But we didn't want to do that, O Lord. And so what? Now we're begging your mercy, but now it's too late. Because my mercy was extended to you all the time. Will your excuse today hold water? So I close today with this. Come out, wherever you are. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 535, a little deviation from the bulletin today. 535. There's room at the cross for you, and you know, that's the nice thing about Jesus. He's left plenty of room. There's room in heaven. Nowhere does it say the doors are closed yet today to heaven. Jesus is ready to build you a room, a dwelling place for all eternity. And when he died for the sins of the world, he died for every person who will. Whosoever will, if you will. Anyway, folks, not only about salvation today, there could be all you need out of the closet. Today's the day to get freed right here publicly. I don't need to do anything with you. No one else does either, but I'm here willing, and I know there's others too if you have a need or a question. And if you perchance aren't ready to come out of the closet today, let me know in the line if I get back there. Pastor, I need to talk. But it's time to get down the road and come out as a Christian. Here we go. Verse 1. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. But it's grace. Yes.